platforms that really want us talking about products and silly things like cats. They don't really want us engaged in substantive exchange. And unless we can become more aware of that and really choose to use platforms that allow for a deeper level of cultural exchange, then we're not going to make much progress here at all.
Douglas Rushkoff, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Douglas Rushkoff is a media theorist. He's the author of Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now, and 20 years ago, Media Virus, Hidden Agendas in Popular Culture. Douglas Rushkoff coined the term viral media. Well, so we're still learning whether or not the digital media viruses are good, although we have learned that the vast majority of biological viruses in the world are good, or at least benign.
Yeah, well, I don't worry about the good ones, actually. But I really like the idea that we're learning enough about these things to be able to co-opt them, to go into our bodies maybe and you know, combat things, not just like the infections that we heard about, but also in the future, you know, maybe cancer, just deliver some cancer drugs right at the right place with a virus.
So there's a lot more to learn about viruses, although that's all we're going to learn in this show about viruses, thanks to our virally vital production staff, Gary Niederhoff, Barbara Vance, and Molly Charlack.
Also support from Google and Rena Shulsky-David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, and a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Smiley Virus from Big Picture Science, and there's more episodes of BiPiSci on iTunes and through the link on our website.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio because, after all, you'll have no trouble with computer viruses, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like the show.
Help our show to go viral. Oh, and we'd love to hear from you as well. You can write us with your comments and your criticisms and your suggestions for the show.
BigPictureScience@SETI.org. That's BigPictureScience@SETI.org.
Making waves. This is WHFR Dearborn, streaming audio at WHFR.fm.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Mary Ann Demo. She is the publisher of Natural Awakenings for Wayne County. She's also one of our media partners for the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. With that being said, I just want to say, hi, Mary Ann. How are you today?
Hey, Mike. I'm good. How about you?
I'm very good. And I do want to thank you for supporting our event here. It's been fantastic. I know you, without any prompting, kind of changed the ad around a little bit for us, made it a little more dramatic, and it had more impact. So I thank you very much for that. That was very nice of you to go above and beyond the call of duty. Once again, thank you for all your support.
Oh, we want to do what we can to help out. And I think that sometimes when you change things around in the look of an ad, you can, you know, attract a slightly different type of person, you know, and so we want to get this message out to as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Try to help people make some healthier choices in their life and be more aware of what's going on. So if a different look in an ad will bring somebody in, all the better.
That's right. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
It has impact. By the way, congratulations too. I understand you just recently had your 5th anniversary of the magazine, so congratulations on that. That must be a great milestone for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a, you know, the first time you've turned five, you don't remember a whole lot about it.
Yeah, right. But this time you do, right?
This one's a lot more fun. I can hold up that, I'm five.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's, you know, it's a milestone. It's something kind of exciting because when you first get started, you know, you just wonder if you're going to make it to the end of the year. And started at a rough time, you know, that famous saying, rough, you know, difficult economic times, you know.
Right.
But I'm starting to feel a different energy, you know, feeling like everybody's kind of coming through it. And I think we're all stronger because of it. And we've had our ups and downs just like anybody else. So I feel like, you know, I'm really excited to go on into the next 5, 10, 15, however many years.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just keep on going indefinitely, right?
Yeah. Well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of word to get out to people, so as long as that's out there and there's people that are interested, we're going to put it out.
Right. So you feel that the future of the magazine looks a lot brighter going forward?
Always. You know, I think that everybody runs into challenges. You know, there's those days where you just feel like, oh, you know, another deadline, another this, another that.
Right.
But it never fails. I'll run into somebody or somebody will just randomly call me and just say, oh my gosh, thank you for putting out that magazine. I just love it. I read this article. It made a difference in my life. Or I passed it on to somebody else and it helped them out. And you get those calls or, you know, people say that to you and it's just like, okay, that's why I keep doing this, you know, and it makes you get up in the morning and be excited about what you do.
Right. Well, I must think that it's very rewarding when people come up to you and tell you that you really are making a difference in the community.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, when we first got started, not as many people had heard about the magazine. You know, it is nationwide, but it hadn't been all over Wayne County very much. And so at first people would not recognize the name of the magazine. And now I typically get, oh, I love that magazine, you know, and a publisher loves to hear that, you know, that's a good thing. I don't think I've ever had somebody that came up to me and said, oh, that thing's awful, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's not what you want to hear. Right.
Maybe, you know, and maybe they're just being kind enough not to say anything. That I appreciate that. But
no,
you know.
I'm sure it's heartfelt because I'm sure it has affected a lot of people, you know, in a positive way. I mean, it's filled with a lot of great information just about health. Not only that, but I know you have a little section about pets. You know, if anybody is a pet owner out there, that's another thing that is a definite plus for that magazine. So you should be congratulated on what you do.
Well, it's a lot of fun. And I think one of my favorite parts of the job is that you're kind of a facilitator. You know, you're bringing together information to people that are interested in that information. And you're also kind of letting them know about businesses in their area that they might want to find out more about. And, you know, you might be this little ray of hope for somebody that really needs it at that particular time. And so if they're struggling with an illness or something that they just feel overwhelmed by, if they get a little tidbit of information that prompts them to research in a particular area and kind of go in that direction, that might be something really helpful for them. So I think that that's a fun thing to be able to be part of, you know, and to know that you can make a difference in that way.
Mm-hmm. After 5 years, do you feel it's getting any easier to put out the magazine?
You know, I hate to even jinx it by saying that because sometimes a month will just go so smoothly and you'll be running up to the deadline thinking, this is a breeze.
Yeah,
this is no problem. And then bam, out of left field, something happens, some crazy thing goes wrong. And, you know, you just never know. But that's what, you know, that's why everybody can't do it, you know, it's exciting.
Right, so it doesn't necessarily go smoothly every month, even though you've done it for quite a while now. Like you said, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I would like to say, oh yeah, I got it down, right. No problem, but you
I
know.
Sleep at night, it's no problem, you know, I've got no worries, you know, but I'm sure those things come up right at the last minute, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can't sleep because I got to take care of this. Has that happened to you before?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Way back in the early days, I remember the first time I actually had to stay up all night, you know, and it had been since college since I did that, and I thought, man, this is not good. And I never even knew when birds actually started in the morning. It seems like it's about 4, as
yes,
I recall.
Yes, I heard that, yes.
But, you know, it was, I learned from that because even though I stayed up all night, I didn't get everything done. And that was really discouraging. But in a way, it was probably good because that was the last time that I stayed up all night. It's like, okay, you reach a certain point where you just have to stop. And you know that the next morning, you're going to get up a little bit fresher. And maybe you'll be more productive than if you try to just power through it. You
right.
know?
Right.
So, yeah, that was a learning experience.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. It's an experience. I mean, you never know what's going to work and what isn't. And it's trial and error, I would imagine, a lot at the beginning, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's go over the fact of how you started this. I believe it was because you had a knee injury, wasn't it? That kind of prompted you to seek medical attention, or I should say alternative forms of medication or what have you, and that's what kind of led to the magazine. So why don't you cover that for us again?
Yeah, well, I just, you know, when you have something that hurts, I think you're much more motivated in a different way than any other thing, you know, and when you go to traditional Western medicine and you don't get the results that you're looking for, or you're not comfortable with how they're treating it, you know, like in my case, it was shots of steroids was what was most, you know, effective, and I just got to looking at what were some of the side effects and the things that could go wrong, and that I just didn't want to go there, you know, and so I started seeking out alternative methods. But I'm not really, I don't really like the term alternative, because I think that really it's more holistic, you know, methods. It's kind of like the both East and West together. And so when you have certain problems, you definitely want Western medicine. I mean, you get in a car accident, man, you want that ambulance, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you've got some kind of chronic long-term thing, maybe just taking medications is not the best option. You know, maybe you got to seek out what's the root of the problem and get to that. And so I think that it just sort of changed my whole way of thinking about things. And I felt like maybe when I was growing up, I kind of took the doctor's at their word, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with their word, but just that if they told me that was wrong, I just accepted it. That's what it was. And when this happened with my knees, I just started kind of shifting more to thinking, wow, I'm the one that's in charge of my health, you know, and I'm the one that's supposed to make these decisions. And so that was more on me, you know, and understanding more about it. And I think that's what kind of helped turn everything around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, getting lured into Natural Awakenings, that was just kind of a natural progression. After I found out more about what was available, I just wanted to share it with people, you know, because my background is marketing. And so that's just kind of my natural tendency, is if I find out something, I want to tell everybody else about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. But initially, it wasn't your goal to start a magazine, correct?
No, nope. I was going to write. I was going to write for a magazine, for somebody else's magazine. I had done little newsletters and things like that for businesses and that, but never really thought about a whole magazine.
Mm-hmm. Well, what actually led you to the thought that I can do this, or I would like to do this? What really led you to that decision?
Well, prior to that, I had been, I had this idea that I wanted to have a farmer's market in the Warren area. And I had gone and talked to one of my friends that had just recently gotten a job with the city of Warren. And I asked him about it. And he was telling me that actually they had just finished a Cool Cities survey. And that one of the top 10 things that people said that they wanted was a farmer's market. And he said, you know, you want a farmer's market. Why don't you start a farmer's market? And I really wasn't thinking about that either. But the more I thought about it, I was like, well, I could help them get a farmer's market started. And so I kind of got into that, and I really enjoyed it. And it was sort of my first real large-scale entrepreneurial venture, you know. And I think it kind of helped me gain some confidence, you know, and feel like, wow. I mean, because it grew pretty fast. And I was excited. And it was sort of a fun thing, because I could go out and see the different vendors. And I could tell by how they set their things up and what they were doing, typically how successful they'd be. You know, you walk by and you see people that, even though they have a nice display, they're sitting kind of hiding behind their table with a book, you know, not interacting with people, and people are just walking right on by no matter how nice the things were that they're selling. And then other people you'd see that they just seemed genuinely pleased to be there, and they were talking about recipes with squash and all these crazy things, you know, but people were buying from them because it wasn't even as much the products that they were buying, it was the interaction, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I really enjoyed that. And so I think that, along with kind of my move in the direction of healthy living, I wanted to just be able to pull all that together. So that's how I kind of decided when this opportunity came along, and my kids were kind of out of school, and I thought, hey, this is a good time.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you apply? I know it's a national title, right? I mean, each area in different states have their own publication, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a franchise. Mm-hmm. So basically, you have to purchase your franchise for your area. And in our area, Wayne County was available. I thought, wow, Wayne County, you know, that's huge. And I felt comfortable doing it. You know, I was excited about being able to bring it to Wayne County, because I feel like we're kind of overlooked a little bit, you know. Sometimes everybody thinks of Ann Arbor, or they think of other areas for healthy living, but
right. There's
a lot right here in Wayne County. You just have to kind of look around a little bit. But here I can make a bigger difference, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, for each magazine, is it targeted to, I know it's targeted to the audience that in that area, but is it the same articles in every magazine throughout the nation or throughout Michigan? Every month it's the same articles except for maybe the updates on local events and, of course, local ads. Is that how it works, or how does it break down?
It's kind of a mix. It's up to each individual publisher how they would like to do it. But, you know, part of what you pay for as a franchise is so that you get some of these national articles. And so Natural Awakenings kind of offers the best of both worlds because you can get the national articles. You know, I wouldn't have a chance of getting an interview with Andrew Weil or, you know, some big names. But as a national publication, they can. And so that way we can have articles like that. And then we can also work with local writers and local experts. And so each issue is kind of a blend of the national and the local. And then the other thing that makes it more local is all of the advertisers are going to be close by. And
right.
then in your events, you know,
mm-hmm.
because
right.
when you're going to go to a yoga class, you don't want to drive, you know, 4 hours to get there.
Right. You don't want to have a listing in Flint or whatever, because that's not going to be practical for most people around this area. Obviously, that does serve a much-needed goal in this area, the fact that there are events listed so people know what's going on. I think that's a very important thing, too, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, they look at, you know, singles events and dating online and all that kind of stuff, and I would far rather see people go to events, you know, healthy living events, things that they're interested in, and meet people that way, because already you got one thing in common, you know?
Right, yeah, good point, very good point. And briefly, I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Mary Ann Demo. She is the publisher of Natural Awakenings for Wayne County. Now, have you found, though, that as you go along, I know you said that it got easier because you had more people helping you eventually, so that must be something that has helped quite a bit. And also, do you keep recruiting people to help you? Does that keep manifesting itself year after year?
Yeah, it's always a bit of a ebb and flow when it comes to things like that. I mean, people that are working, they're not actually working for me. I'm really the only employee mm-hmm. of my franchise, but I work with independent contractors. And so I've got people that help me with delivering magazines. I have people that help me as editing. I have, you know, all these graphic design, layout, all those types of things. And so when you work with that many different people, there's going to be some transition from time to time. And people move and, you know, take on different jobs. They retire. Things happen, you know. And they're working with the work that they do for me. It's mostly part-time, you know. So that kind of offers even more chance that things are going to change for them, you know. But I've worked with a lot of different people over the 5 years, and I think that it kind of evolves a little bit. You know, people just tend to, even aside of their own changes in their life, I think it's just you kind of tend to go in one direction or another direction, and people just seem to kind of appear. Mm-hmm. And I think of it, you know, because I look at some of the ads that I've put into the classified section looking for people from time to time. And it'll be the same darn ad. And sometimes I'll get 20 calls, you know, and other times the whole month will go by and I didn't get a call. Mm-hmm. And you gotta wonder, I mean, it's the same ad.
Right.
But, you know, and then some of the people that I've met that just randomly picked up the phone and called me, they're, you know, not only do I work with them and they help me out, but we're friends, you know, and it's just mm-hmm. like, you just never know who are the people that you're going to connect with. And I kind of, you know, that's that intuition thing. I try to trust it a little bit. You know, when I just meet somebody and I immediately feel comfortable with them and it seems like we're kind of on the same page, then I think that we're going to be able to work together well.
Mm-hmm. You just get a sense that you, I guess, work well together. You get that vibration that you know that this is the person that you can work with.
Yeah, that sounds very unscientific, but it
well,
kind of pans
yeah.
out, you know.
Well, that's important, though, to be able to find these people. It's like the law of attraction that they seem to come into your life just at the right time, correct?
Yeah, but, you know, it's weird because I have some background in marketing and HR, and it goes against everything I've been trained to say. You know, it's just like, there would be sometimes when you'd interview people and you look at their credentials and it's just like, you know, they all stack up, but there's one that just kind of, there's that factor, that wow factor that you can't really measure in a test or anything, you know, and it's just like, I trust that a lot more than ever I did before when I was reporting to other people and I had to report in a logical way. You know, I could just see some of my old bosses look on their face when I'm like, yeah, I think this is the one. I just feel it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's just it. And it's worked out for the most part, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And for good and for bad. You know, sometimes when I meet with somebody and everything seems good and I just have this feeling like it's not going to be good, you know, and so I'll just kind of wait and sort of see how it pans out, and pretty close. It's been right on.
Yeah, it's been good.
There's always a few surprises. You never know mm-hmm. about that, you know, but it's like.
Right. Well, again, you hope for the best. I mean, once you make arrangements to work with certain people or whatever, or in certain situations, you never can tell what's going to happen, though.
Well, I've had some weird ones, too, where it just seemed like, you know, we met, everything went really well, and I thought things were great, and then I never heard from them again. You know, mm-hmm. it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe they did me a favor, you know?
Right. Maybe they weren't the ones. Who knows?
Yeah.
Now, are you happier being your own boss, do you think, instead of working for someone else? I've heard many people that are responsible for their own paycheck, you know, and the fact that they have their own business, in essence, are much happier being the boss than when they were the employee. How do you feel about that?
I'd say I'm kind of split down the middle, honestly. Most days, yes, I love to be my own boss. As far as workflow and being able to, you know, there's some days when you're just really in the zone, and man, I could just keep going forever on those days. And then there's days when you just know the moment you wake up, you're just off, mm-hmm. you know. And when you work for somebody else, you still got to trudge on in there and force through it, even though you know you're not doing your best work. And I think that's something that is really nice for, you know, when you're your own boss. But, you know, there's a trade-off. You're the one responsible. You know, you've got this kind of heavy burden on your shoulders. And it's a different type of burden. It's something where you know that you are the only one that can make this happen.
Right.
And when you're working for somebody else, you know, there's those little perks like the paycheck fairy that visits your account, you know, that's really nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it helps quite a bit, I would imagine. But again, it's just something you mentioned earlier, just the deadlines and stuff. There's always that constant, I guess, pressure to a certain degree. Again, some months are better than others, like you said, but again, that's always in the back of your mind, right?
Yeah, I guess it is. I think it just kind of makes a difference if you like what you're doing, you mm-hmm. know? And I've always been kind of competitive, you know, played sports growing up. And so I just have to sort of tap into my own competitiveness, you know, and make sure that I'm aware of the numbers, you know? So it's like, okay, if I know that I've got to make 2 more sales this month to meet my quota or whatever goal mm-hmm. I have set for myself, then I'm the only one that can push myself to do that.
Right.
And so, and it when you achieve it, it's pretty sweet, you know? It's mm-hmm. like, wow, I did it, you know? And sometimes I've been able to push myself to do things that I never would have thought that I could have done. And so I like that part of it. You know, I think that's a good part. And then also there's some excitement about being able to contribute to other people's incomes, you know, and helping other people meet their financial goals. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a lot of people can't make it on just working full time. It's like they need a little extra. And being able to give them some extra money for delivering magazines or whatever, writing or something, that makes a big difference, you know, and it makes me feel good that what I'm doing not just impacts the readers and that, but it also helps people's bottom line, you know?
Right. It helps benefit others, so that's very important.
Yeah, and if there's a day when you're kind of just not feeling it, you think of all those other people, and do you want to disappoint all those people?
Right, or you would just like to call in sick or something, and you can't do that. Yep. You have to keep on keeping on. Now, I know you write a letter from the publisher every month. Do you ever write any of the articles themselves? Have you done
that? No, not too much. I enjoy writing, but I'm not a great writer, I have to say. I'm not a disciplined writer. I like to write in first person, and that's not allowed in our magazine. You know, it's not so, it's not as easy reading. You know, it needs to be written in third person to be more effective. And so a lot of times I will have an idea for the article, but then usually I assign it to a writer.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you have like a list of people that you know you can contact that will actually do the actual writing?
Yeah, I'd like to say that. Not always. Sometimes the people that want to write something aren't good at working with deadlines. You know, there's a lot to manage.
Yeah. I know that. I mean, again, that must be frustrating too sometimes, because you don't want to be, you know, rude or anything, but I know sometimes people drag their feet and, you know, or I should say just feet, but, you know, they're not really forthcoming with articles and stuff, and you have to call them up and say, you know, I don't mean to bug you, but, you know, hey, I need this article. Where is it? You know,
yeah.
Does that happen often?
Well, not too much. You know, I try to, when I'm working with people, I try to set the expectation ahead of time of what we're looking to do. And because having an article in the magazine is kind of a coveted spot, you know, and people want to get their things published. So that's not as bad for an article. I would say usually where it kind of starts to drag is in the editorial process, to where we're working with an editor and the editor will go through and say, okay, we need to change these things, and then we give it back to the writer and they're like, well, no, I really want to put it this way, you know. And a certain amount of it is kind of subjective. And so at a certain point, you just have to kind of put a stop to it and say, okay, this is how the article is going to be, and, right, you know, go ahead forward with that. I think that the part that you have to kind of be pushing people along a little bit is with the news briefs, because those are short little snippets and they're kind of, you know, 200-300 words. And usually it's about some sort of timely topic that we've got to kind of get that out. And mm-hmm. So when it goes in the magazine is important. You know, if you've got something about an event that happens in June, it's got to be in June. You know,
right.
July is not in time.
Right. Yeah, so. It doesn't make sense. You're right about that.
But it's kind of like tough love. You know, you got to kind of treat it like teenagers. You got to put it out there and say, all right, that's what I'm expecting, and then hope that they'll
just
do it.
Just kind of shove them if they don't respond or do something to get their attention. But do you find that over the course of being with the magazine that you have improved with your decision-making because of the fact that right, wrong, or indifferent, you just have to make a decision and let people know? Do you find that to be easier now as you go along?
I would say for the most part. I think at the beginning, I kept catching myself making a case like I was going to present it to some boss that wasn't there, and then realizing, no, the boss is me. I'm supposed to decide. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I would go too far in one direction of trying to keep everybody happy. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, unfortunately, when you do that, you tend to make nobody happy, you know.
Right.
And so,
yes, that's very true.
I have to be kind of the guardian for what I want in the magazine and what the magazine represents, and staying true to what we want to publish. And so it makes it a little bit easier to make the tough decisions, you know. And I've found it's kind of like a Band-Aid. You just got to rip it off quick and be, all right, we're done.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Yes, right. Well, you just get it over with and that's it. Briefly, I just want to remind everybody once again that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Mary Ann Demo. She is the publisher of Natural Awakenings for Wayne County. Now, getting back to the decision-making, do you find yourself having to make a ton of decisions every day, or does it just depend on the month, or how does that work?
Well, it kind of depends. I would say not hundreds of decisions every day. I mean, you know, you have to think about, you got to do some planning and then following through on your plan and see how it goes, you know. I would say maybe some of the decisions come when you're getting close to deadline and you have to decide, can you really still get somebody in there, you know, because when our deadline is the 15th of the month for every month. So if you have an event that's happening in July, you need to get it to us by June 15th. And so small businesses, a lot of times, they just don't think that far in advance, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's still pretty far in advance for them. And so, you know, we've got to get them into the habit of thinking a little bit more ahead. And so, you know, there's always somebody that comes bustling in at the last minute, you know. And sometimes in layout, you know, depends on what type of an ad they're trying to work in there, but sometimes it's just not possible. Mm-hmm. And so that's when you got to make, that's a tough decision, you know, because it's like, you know that you could help them if you got it in there.
Right.
But you can't alter, I mean, you can't, there's a certain point where you have to say, no, we can't do it anymore.
Right. But I do see you send out emails prompting people or reminding people mm-hmm. that, you know, the information has to be in by this date, you know, please do so. So that must help, doesn't it?
I think that it does. But I think that, you know, all of us get so darn many emails now mm-hmm. that I don't know. I think it's diluted it a little bit. You know, it's like, I feel like the first email should go out, and then maybe I should have a second one that says, no, really, you really got to get it in, you know.
Right.
Or maybe I should have a text message, you know, thing that goes out to say, no, for sure, today.
That's right. I'm not joking around. I'm serious. Yeah, right. Well, there again, too, I mean, I know you want to probably be kind, but again, it gets to the point where you really just have to say yay or nay and move on. And
yeah.
Does that like I say, get any easier or not necessarily?
I don't think so. You know, there's always a time when you feel bad because there's when you see a company and they just have, you know, they just haven't met what you need them to meet. And you can't take it personally. You know, you just have to let it go. And it's like, well, maybe this just wasn't meant to for them to get in at this time. Maybe mm-hmm. there's another way that they can get their message out.
Right. And that usually works out somewhere along the line, do you find?
Yeah. And then, you know, for some, if they've missed it completely, then it, you know, helps them learn to do it a little sooner next time, mm-hmm. you know. And some, you
right.
never.
Well, some people have to learn, though, too. I mean, that, yeah. you know, you're serious, that you mean it, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I've had people call, you know, like we would have just uploaded the file to the printer and they're like, okay, I've got it. You're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. No, maybe next month or whatever. But like you say, if it's a timely matter, well, it's just too bad, I guess. But
yep, it happens sometimes.
That's part of it. Mm-hmm. What do you find the most rewarding thing about putting out the magazine? I know you say that you really enjoy people coming up and complimenting you. What are some of the other things that really make it worthwhile to put this magazine out every month?
Well, I think it's not so much just complimenting me. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a whole team effort to mm-hmm. put this magazine out there. But I just like to think that it's actually making a difference for people, you know. And when people reference an article that they read 2 years ago and they're still toting around the, you know, the magazine and they're sharing it with relatives. And the other day I stopped into a place, really amazing little place called Natural Recovery out on Eureka in Ecorse, right where M39 Southfield Freeway kind of ends. Like when she's giving me directions, she says, yeah, just take Southfield Freeway and then the road, and then mm-hmm. when you get to the water, turn left.
Yeah, right. Well, what water is that?
Yeah, got out there and we were talking with them, and they had she went and pulled all of the, she had almost every issue of the magazine since the beginning and had them all there. It was just so impressive. I
right.
felt like, wow.
Well, there's a fan right there.
Yeah, it was just really neat. And, you know, I had dropped off magazines to them before, and usually it was closed, so I never had a chance to go inside. But it was just like, you know, seeing in that area, there's really not a lot of healthy living spots that would really jump out at you, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
And here's these two gals that are out there just giving it their best, and they've got all these great products and all this stuff. And it's just like, why did I, you know, I've got to help them get their message of the things that they're doing to people who are looking for it, you know, and they could be right down the street from them but not know about it.
Right.
And so whenever I can encounter a place like that, or we just found out about a place called Jungle Juice Bar. They have the best smoothies and juices. I couldn't believe it. I went in and, you know, we're sitting down, that we're talking to both of the owners, you know, and we all were having so much fun in the conversation. The one gal jumps up and says, oh my gosh, I've got to go. You know, I was supposed to leave at this certain time. But I mean, how often do you get that opportunity to just sit down and share ideas about how they can grow their business and what they can do and how we can help them? And they've been in business a year, and I felt bad that I didn't even know that they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited to be able to help get the word out, you know, so that people know. It doesn't mean that you have to go to McDonald's or go to someplace fast food. You know, you can get healthy food.
I'm surprised. Okay, never mind. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They have awesome things there, you know, and mm-hmm. you can eat healthy.
Right.
And you can find it all over. You just have
right.
to kind of know where to
it's
look.
It's healthy, but it tastes good as well.
Yes, and what a bonus is that?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be amazed at how good you feel when you eat that kind of food, you know, and it's, yes, fast food is easier. You know, you just pull up there, they have it ready for you, boom, you're out. But then the toll that it takes on you over a period of time, you know, and if you start the morning with a smoothie or a juice, you know, a mixture of juices, a green smoothie is especially great.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd just be amazed at the little shot of energy that you get and how much better you feel.
So you do help other companies network together?
As much as possible, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have a group that meets once a month called the Holistic Networking Group, and we just kind of get together. And one of the things that I found, and the reason that I decided to start the group, was because when I would go to Chamber of Commerce types of meetings, or like BNI networking types of things, I would find that I'd be the only one that had anything to do with healthy living. You know, there's insurance agents and all these different, you know, people, and they were expecting me to be able to give them referrals as part of the group, you know, but nobody really had a business, anything like my business. And I thought, if I could get together with other practitioners,
right,
we'd be able to help each other so much more. Because a lot of times people get started into a holistic practice alongside of their other job. And so maybe, you know, they're not sure if it's going to work out. And so they're kind of doing both for quite a period of time. And they don't really know how to market themselves, you know. And so with my marketing background, I can kind of look at them and give them an idea of, here's some things that you can do to sort of get started, to do things for free, to get going. And then once you get to the certain level, then there's, you know, some more things that you can do. And then when you're ready to leave your full-time employment, maybe cut down to part-time, you know, and there's a way to transition to do it. And I think that having a group where everybody is sort of in that same boat is really helpful. And mm-hmm. so for us to get together and talk, and what we do is once a month we get together over at St. Paul of the Cross, which is a little bit of a challenge because it's along I-96 at Telegraph.
Okay, yeah.
You've Hard seen I-96,
yeah,
yeah?
Right.
Just take your Range Rover over that, you know, pile. But yeah, they're right where it closes, so you can avoid 96 to get there. But we meet on an evening at 7, and then we all get in there and everybody introduces themselves so that everyone kind of knows who's in the group. And then one of the, we schedule in advance somebody to be a presenter. And so they will give about a 20-minute presentation about what they do. And then there's kind of time for question and answer after. And then everybody can just kind of network and talk to one another. And mm-hmm. usually you kind of get a feel for who you want to go talk to based on when everybody was introducing themselves. You know, if they're right. doing something that you're interested in, or they've got an event, and everybody brings their business cards and their flyers and all that. And so we just kind of exchange information. And going to something like that is such a different feeling than going to a traditional networking thing.
Right.
You know, it's just more supportive and right. helpful.
Well, no, that's definitely a great idea when people of a like mind get together. I mean, it's obviously more effective, I would think, other than the group that you first joined. I mean, yeah, other businesses are involved, but it's nice when you can target people that have the same interest as you do with the magazine.
Yeah, and a lot of times different clients that they have will need multiple services within that group. And so say, you know, somebody who does acupuncture comes to the group, maybe they want to let the person know that they'd like to recommend them to colon hydrotherapy, but they need to know somebody that they can recommend the person to, you know, that they feel comfortable
right,
with.
Right.
And so there's a bit of that kind of referring around. And maybe somebody wants to put on a workshop and they don't know any places where they can put on a workshop at a low cost. And so someone else can tell them, oh, you know, if you don't charge a fee, you might be able to do it at this library, or there's this other place where you can do it. And so there's a bit of sharing information with things like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Are these meetings open for anybody, though?
Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. and they're no charge.
Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to have a holistic business going. You can just show up and
yep.
experience the meeting as is?
Yeah, because you can definitely learn something from whatever the presentation is on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do the introduction, so that we kind of know who we're talking to. So if people are saying, oh, you know, I'm just here to listen, then they're going to do the presentation slightly differently than if it's all chiropractors or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people are just contemplating getting into some type of a business, and they're smart. They're trying to network ahead of time, you know, and decide, hey, is this what I can do? Because, you know, sometimes people go to something like a massage therapy school, and, you know, in the school, they're teaching massage therapy, and they give the impression that, you know, when you're done, you're going to have a business and you're going to be able to support yourself. And sometimes that's not the case. Mm-hmm. When people get out, they don't know the first thing about how to market themselves.
Right, or how to get started.
Yeah, you know, and it's expensive. They don't necessarily want to have people tromping in and out of their house, and so they want to have space, and then they don't want to spend too
right.
much because they don't have money coming in yet. And so people like that we could really help, because
right.
other people can tell them, well, this is what I did when I started out, or mm-hmm. here's a place I know of where you might be able to rent a small space within a larger space, where maybe, you know, like if it's in a yoga studio and you're going to kind of be able to bring in some cross-sell to some of the other people that are coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that are really helpful for
right,
people.
Right, or things on how to set up a website or whatever the case may be,
oh,
things
yeah.
like that.
That's a common thing. You know, a lot of times people feel all bad because they, I just can't afford to do a website yet. It's like, you really don't necessarily need to start off the bat with the website. You can really do quite a bit with Facebook if you set it up properly, you know, and other social medias, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a website. And I think that if you really can't afford to do a decent website, maybe you're better not to, because you see so many bad ones out there.
Right. You don't want to give the wrong impression, mm-hmm. you know, right off the bat. So that's good as well. Do you feel that being with the magazine, that your health has improved and habits that you've instituted since you've been with the magazine have benefited you?
Yeah, I think so. It tends to kind of go in cycles, you know, like anything else. Just because you know all the right things to do doesn't mean that you always do all of them, you know? And so sometimes you need a little reminder of, you know, oh, yeah, I used to do such and such. I kind of fell off the wagon with that.
I used to eat those Coney Islands, but no more.
I went to a really nice cooking demonstration that Latricia Wright put on. And she was cooking a veggie lasagna that, man, it smelled so good, you know. And then she made the salad, and she made the salad out of cabbage with some other vegetables mixed in. And then she mixed in an apple. And it was just kind of like very unexpected. And then we're all thinking she's going to douse it in dressing. No, she squeezes lemon on it, you know. And we're thinking, okay, we'll have a bite to be polite, but that's probably going to be
about it.
And it was delicious, you know, and it was so much better for you. And it really didn't take her that much longer than anything else that you would have prepared, you know. And so you go out of a group like that thinking, oh, I could do this, you know, I can eat healthier. And I think there's always opportunity for change, you know, and being able to do a little bit better than what you do. And if you learn some new thing that you didn't even know about before. You know, I thought I had found this great shortcut, because in the grocery store I found this little box where they had already pre-chopped onions, celery, carrots all together. And I was using those kind of as part of a base when I would make soups. Mm-hmm. And that, come to find out, you know, sometimes though, depending on how long they've been sitting there, they might lose some of their nutrients by doing it. So here I thought I found this great thing, you know, and maybe it wasn't so great.
Right. Well, you just never know. Sometimes too, I don't know, you think it's all natural, but there are additives that you find out that maybe aren't the best for you or you should stay away from. But just basically, you think that you really have improved your health with this magazine?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it makes you much more aware of things, you know, and every month we have articles and things that I always learn something, you know, from it.
Right.
And some of it is a refresher, you know, and then sometimes it's just like, no. You know, if you are around people that have a lot of health challenges, all of a sudden you're kind of like, wow, I got to get on the ball here.
Right. You see the handwriting on the wall, so to speak, and say, well, I've got to change something here.
Yep.
But I was going to ask you if you learned something, you know, every month from maybe just some information about an event or about an article that refers to something that maybe you've been concerned about. Has that happened every month, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. And some more than others, you know. But I think, like, an example of something recently I had been, and I knew about the raw food diet before. It wasn't really something that I personally embraced, but I felt like, you know, if you can even add more raw foods to your diet, that's helpful, you know. And but now I've heard even more about how healing a raw food diet can be, and testimonials of people that, you know, because, like, when you eat food, you require digestive enzymes to digest the food. So if you're eating foods that are raw, the enzymes are still in the plants that you're eating. And so that means your body doesn't have to tap into its store of digestive enzymes. And so your body can use those for other cleanup work that needs to be done in your body. And that can be very healing for people. And so this gal was telling me about a testimonial where a person had some teeth pulled, and their teeth were regrowing. I mean, these are crazy things you never would think of, you know, but it's just like, if you give your body a chance, it can do amazing things.
Right, you just never really know.
Yeah, or like tumors shrinking, you know, things that, I mean, if I were in that type of a situation, I would definitely want to give that a try, you know? And I think when I first looked at it, I thought, well, this is, you know, raw food, that's kind of extreme to go all the way over just to having raw food. But raw food isn't just lettuce and carrots. I mean, you know, there's a lot more things. And especially when I got started drinking smoothies in the morning, and green smoothie was the big step, because most people don't get enough greens as it is. So when I got going with the farmer's market, it seemed like I would always have some kind of random leftover vegetables, you know, and I wanted to try to use them up before I would go shopping again the next week. So I just got brave one day and just put a whole handful of spinach in there with my, you know, thing. And it was like, actually, when you have a banana in there, the banana kind of covers.
Right, sweetens it up a little
bit. Yeah, so if you just, you know, kind of disregard the color, it was quite tasty, you know.
So if you can get over the color, you're good to go. Is that it?
I would say so, yeah. We do a thing out
What about the smell? Is the smell okay?
No, it smells fine, yeah. Oh, okay. There's nothing crazy about the smell. And we're doing a thing out at the Shelby Farmers Market that's way out northern Macomb. But we're putting out little samples for people to try them, you know, and then encouraging people to put things, you know, to try these smoothies and to put some of the things in there that, you know, like ground flaxseed or brewer's yeast or cranberry juice or coconut water, and blend them with whatever things that you might have. You know, maybe you've got some apple, banana, carrot, some greens, some spinach, that kind of thing. A lot of people, if you have dental issues, maybe you don't want to be doing all this chewing, but having that smoothie, that's the same way to have raw food, you know, and give yourself that little boost of energy. And I definitely notice it.
Really? Do you feel it fills you up as well?
Well, it depends what you put in it. One of the secrets that I have found is putting a few nuts in there, like walnuts or almonds, and those kind of help keep you full a little bit longer. A little bit of avocado is helpful too. I mean, I think a lot of times people actually are not hungry. They're actually thirsty, like dehydrated.
Right.
But we're so trained to, you know, eat at a certain time and do all these certain things. And so if you can kind of get past that part, then I don't feel any more or less hungry than if I had eaten breakfast.
Right. Well, I've heard that sometimes people get confused that, you know, really they are just thirsty. They're not hungry, but like you said, they're conditioned to eat, so that's what they do.
Yep. And I think it's good. It's a good habit if you can, you know, when you think you're hungry, try drinking a little bit of water and then, you know, see. If you're still hungry, okay, then maybe you really are hungry. But a lot of times we're just dehydrated.
Once again, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Mary Ann Demo. She's the publisher of Natural Awakenings for Wayne County. Now, I know we talked earlier in the show, you're planning to just keep this ongoing indefinitely, just as long as you possibly can?
Absolutely.
Are there any future plans for, I don't know, perhaps books or anything, any other publishing that you might be interested in?
No, I think this is probably all the publishing I can handle.
Really? Enough is enough, right? But, I mean, nothing special coming up?
No, not specifically. I mean, definitely not books. I think that there are some writers that get started with us that start writing, and then they're like, oh, I think I need to write a book, you know? But myself personally, no, that's not really something that I'm thinking about. I've been kind of, I've been doing this farmer's market kind of thing, and I'm down to just managing one farmer's market now, the one that's out in Shelby Township. And I started working out there actually almost 5 years ago. And I really enjoy that one. And it's more fun when you do just one, because so much of my work is indoors and on the computer, and just being able to be outside all day,
right.
You know, and interact with people. And I really enjoy that. And you get to know the people that grow your food. That's important.
Right. Well, that does sound refreshing.
It is kind of nice. Although, you know, on a rainy, cold day, not so much.
Yeah. The weather's not always perfect. That's one thing about Michigan. We all know that. Now, in the most recent edition of the magazine, we were talking about this before we went on air, but in the most recent edition, there's an article about intuition. Do you find that in working with the magazine that you rely more on your intuition that helps guide you putting out the magazine?
I wouldn't say so much necessarily with the magazine itself. I think just myself getting older, I'm learning to trust it a little bit more, you know, and maybe that's part intuition and part experience, and, you know, I like to think wisdom in some ways, you know, but yeah, I sometimes, unfortunately, I override that little voice, but I find when I follow it, it does seem to, things turn out better. mm-hmm. for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Do you get that sense, though, when you're putting out the magazine, something doesn't feel right, and maybe you might change something at the last minute? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, it's happened a couple times, actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you have to choose is the cover, you know, and so sometimes I'll be looking at the cover choices and then, you know, just kind of going back and forth, and there's kind of a criteria that I look at that then goes right back to that, you know, little bit of a gut feeling. It's like, no, this one just feels better. Yeah, I'm going to go mm-hmm. with this one.
So you get a selection of the cover, whatever you might want to choose from every month?
Yep. Part of being part of the franchise is that they do offer you some cover choices that you can have. And then you're always available that you can choose and seek out your own cover, too. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, that's something that you want to do. But for the most part, I usually go with what are the cover choices that they offer, because they select them based on a criteria as well, you know, and so I think that I normally feel comfortable with the choices.
Mm-hmm. How do they break that down? Do they just break it down by county or certain regions of a state, or how does that work?
Nope, all the covers are available to everybody, mm-hmm. and there's recycled covers too, you know, like if maybe last year you didn't choose this one for May and there was one that you thought, oh, that was really nice, you could go back and, you know, choose another one mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, when you actually apply for a franchise, I mean, how is that broken down? I mean, is it usually county by county has their own publication or certain regions of a state?
It kind of goes more by population. I mean,
okay.
in the Metro Detroit area, it's a little bit easier to break it up by county, you know, just that makes it a little bit easier. But like, for example, there's a new Natural Awakenings publisher, Vicki Parian, that just got started, and her magazine covers Toledo and Monroe. So she's actually, you know, two states.
Right.
But there's other Natural Awakenings in Ohio, but just around the Toledo area. Toledo by itself wasn't, you know, high enough population to support a whole franchise. So by linking Monroe with it, that really helped. And all of us have been kind of helping out, putting out some magazines in Monroe leading up to that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry Neal, who publishes the Macomb, Oakland, and Greater Northeast Michigan, he was the first publisher in Michigan. And so when he was here, it was kind of the Wild West. You know, he could put magazines wherever because he had no neighbors.
Right.
But then, you know, Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County started up, and John and Tina Vohl over there are doing that one. And then we've got Amy Haas in and Kyle in Grand Rapids, and then we've got Wayne County, and then now we have this new one with Vicki for Toledo and Monroe. So, you know, Natural Awakenings is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it's expanding all the time, is it?
Yeah, yeah. I would say probably 4 to 5 new franchises each year.
Mm-hmm. Where are the headquarters at?
In Naples, Florida.
Okay.
Sharon Bruckman, that started Natural Awakenings, she's actually from Michigan, and she had moved to Florida and started the magazine down there. And then when she'd come back and forth kind of visiting, she, you know, relatives and friends wanted copies of the magazines, and, you know, at some point gave her the idea, you know, maybe I should make this a franchise. And so once she did, then that allowed people to buy in and to be able to, you know, expand it to a national publication.
Mm-hmm. How many states is this magazine in, do you know?
I'm not sure. I think it's about...
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's good, though. I mean, you know, it's obviously something that's a grassroots production, but obviously it's gone national. So to get the word out, that's a very beneficial thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of the best of both worlds, you know, mm-hmm. because it's a lot of work putting out a magazine. And so there's some, you know, standards and criteria that you want to uphold. And I think being part of a larger publication helps you to do that, you know, and to keep the quality good. And I know, like when my husband and I had gone to Florida a couple years ago, we were excited to pick up a Natural Awakenings down there because we were only in town for a week and we wanted to find a lot of things like health food store, yoga
right.
classes, things like that. All we had to do was get the Natural Awakenings and we found everything we needed.
Mm-hmm. When you first signed up for the franchise, after all the business details were taken care of and stuff, did you ever wake up and say, "What have I done?" Has that ever occurred to you?
Of course.
Just about every day, maybe. I don't know.
No, there's
but
other
at
days.
First, yeah. Really.
Not even at first, you know. Sometimes there's just days where I just think, "Oh my gosh, this is a lot," you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know. I think you just sort of you grow into it, you know. You
right.
you get more accustomed to it as you go along. It's like if you were sitting here on the radio and you're thinking, all those people that are listening, oh my gosh, they're hanging on my every word.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, they're listening out there, that's for sure. But yeah, you can't really think about all the details and stuff. You just have to go ahead and do the best you can. I'm sure that's probably your philosophy every month. You just put out the best magazine you can, and there it is.
Yep, that's it exactly.
Mm-hmm. So for a magazine, when you start off at the beginning of the month, what do you first start with? What do you look for?
Well, you pretty much have an editorial calendar that you're working with, so you know kind of the theme of the magazine. Like for the June issue that we're working on right now is men's wellness. Mm-hmm. So you have some kind of the bones, you know, and you know all of the special sections that you're filling, and you know what, you know, you kind of have a good feel for what is going to come together. The wild card is you don't know what all ads are going to be in there. You know, like you have your regular people that you already have long-term agreements with, but there's always those surprises that kind of pop in, you know, or somebody that calls and says, oh, can I still get in, that type of thing. So that's kind of the part. It's sort of like putting together a puzzle.
Mm-hmm. And does that puzzle usually come together? I mean, I know it must every month, but I'm sure it's a challenge month by month, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, some months it's better than others, and you have to move things around, and, you know, it comes together.
Mm-hmm. Some way or somehow.
Yeah, sometimes I'm not really sure how it all did, but it does.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else in your family that helps you with this magazine?
Oh, I would like to say so, but... really, I'm about the only one in my family. I would say that the rest of my family is more of a tolerating me and being supportive type of a role. You know, my ever-suffering husband who has to hear of my ranting about this and that and, you know, whatever. And my kids, you know, they don't live with me anymore, but they still do hear things. You know, if my son sends me a text message or something, it's like, so, you're on deadline, you know?
Yeah, right.
That makes a difference of what he might ask.
Yeah, right. And he doesn't really want to upset you or anything, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's always keeps my feelings at the top of his list.
Right. So for next month's magazine, are you doing it for men's health kind of in conjunction with Father's Day?
Well, I think, you know, we do women's health for May, right, which kind of goes along with the Mother's Day type,
right,
of a theme. And so I think we would be kind of, you know, that wouldn't be wise for us to just leave men out completely.
Yes, that wouldn't be good. That would be sexist, but yeah. Well, again, I'm sure you try to hit, you know, various groups and whatever throughout the year, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's all different topics that you want to be able to cover. And I think that our readership is a little bit stronger on the, you know, female demographic. And so a lot of these men's wellness issues might be delivered to the husband personally, you know, by their caring spouse.
Right. Whether or not they choose to accept the information is another thing entirely, but...
Yeah, and it might take a little while, you know, but it is possible. And I've had men that came up to me and said, yeah, my wife brought home this magazine and she kept putting it in the bathroom and I finally read it, you know, that kind of thing. And so, and then they'll say, yeah, and it was helpful, you know, or this helped me or that helped me, so...
They say that they're pleasantly surprised that this magazine did make an impact?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, that we do kind of get to the point quickly. I mean, we don't have, you know, 12-page articles. And so I think sometimes if you know that you can start reading and you can get the gist of it within a page, you're willing to do that, you know. And I think that's helpful, too.
Right.
And we have a lot of pictures, you know, so
right.
That's good.
Yeah, right. That's what I can do. I can look at the pictures. But no, that what you say is true, too. I mean, and also the listings for events and stuff. I mean, it's all concise and stuff. I mean, it's an easy read, you know, if people really want to find out what's going on. Now, what I would like to know is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners? Maybe contact information, any events coming up, possibly?
Well, absolutely. For sure, we have an event coming up this Sunday, which is actually goes back to what we were talking about with the raw food. It's a strictly raw food event called Natural Health and EcoFest, and this year is the 6th annual, and you can find out more information about it at naturalhealthandecofest.com. There's a $10 cost to get in, but it is well worth it. They have goodie bags for everybody, which that's kind of nice. And there's a lot of vendors that can give you a lot of information about, you know, if you are considering trying some raw food or trying to incorporate more of it into your diet or learning how to I guess you wouldn't call it cooking with raw food, but you know how to blend the foods together so that they're tasty and that type of
right.
thing.
And I would imagine certain foods probably work together better with other foods that bring out the natural ingredients or benefits of the food.
Yeah, there's all sorts of amazing combinations. I would have never believed that if you blended a banana with celery that it would taste like banana bread, and it totally does.
Really? Okay, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Never knew that. But also there's a roster of speakers for that event too, right?
Oh yeah, quite a few really top-notch speakers. And if you go to the website, you can see the list of them. But the whole event is put on by Joyce Oliveto, and she's been in raw food forever. Also Ellen Livingston, she's one of my favorites from the Ann Arbor area. Mm-hmm. One winter I went out all through a snowstorm to go to one of her talks, and she really gives a lot of good information and talks from the heart about things that really happened to her personally, you know, and I think that makes a big difference. Dr. Joel Kahn and Terry Vandale is a certified nutritional microscopist. And if you've ever had your live blood cells looked at, that's the type of thing that she does. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So she can tell you what's wrong with you or what you need to correct possibly? Or
well, I think that, you know, when she's looking at it, she's just reporting what she sees, you mm-hmm. know. And then you can make some changes based on what you might need or take that information to a medical practitioner and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Is there any information about the magazine you want to give out? If somebody wanted to contact you, an email address
oh,
or anything
sure.
like that?
I can provide my email address, and I would love to hear from people, just even your thoughts about the magazine or something that you'd like to see in an upcoming edition. And it's publisher@naturalawakeningsdetroit.com.
Okay, well, great. Thank you very much, Marianne, for being part of this show this month. I do appreciate it. And once again, thank you very much for your support with the festival. I mean, it means a great deal to us, and we thank you very much for it.
You're welcome. Happy to do it.
Once again, I would like to thank my special guest this month, Marianne Demo. She is the publisher of Natural Awakenings from Wayne County. She's been at it now for more than 5 years, so that's a great thing. And I can tell by just talking to her, she's very proud of her magazine, and she should be, because it's an excellent publication. It really covers a lot of information for health and well-being, so be sure to check it out. It's free, folks. Free is good. So be sure to pick up a copy and check it out. I'm sure you'll be pleasantly surprised when you do. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Be sure to join me on the third Tuesday of every month for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. With all that being said, I just want to thank you for listening, and have a great day, everybody.
WHFR, Dearborn. WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of the best of Broadway.